Welcome to the Business of Collaboration podcast. In this podcast, we try and answer the following questions. What is innovation? How do people collaborate and work together? Who is behind the most innovative ideas, technology, and knowledge? We are curious about people. How do they innovate? How do they create a new technology or acquire new knowledge? We give them a voice and a platform to share their stories because they are superheroes.
This is your host, Jara Pascual, founder and CEO of Collab With. Today, we have the true pleasure to talk to Sabine Stoiber. Sabine Stoiber is co-founder and CMO of Hydroloop, the system which is recycling water from and for your own house and building. In this podcast episode of Business of Collaboration, we will talk about her entrepreneurship journey, how to be resilient, how to do business, how important it is to engage and be involved as much as you can with your own innovation ecosystem. In this case, TechLeap in the Netherlands and the Water Alliance. And how to work so hard that you don't miss any opportunity for your business. Do you want to know? Listen to our podcast with Sabine Stoiber. Welcome to the Business of Collaboration podcast, Sabine Stoiber.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Looking forward to it.
Finally, we made it.
Yes. Taken about half a year, I think.
No, almost 1 year, Sabine, almost one. Because almost we met in October last year.
Exactly, it's September now. Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
well, good, yeah. Good to talk, finally.
So how do you get the idea of Hydroloop systems and what is your story?
Okay. Well, basically, the idea comes from the fact that, and that's already been going on in our heads for a longer period of time, more than 20 years, that it is absolutely ridiculous that we are still flushing our toilets with pure drinking water, that we are, you know, watering our gardens with pure drinking water. We're doing our washing with that. And if you just think about it, I mean, a child can even think about it, that this is not sustainable. This is not something that we can keep doing, especially with, you know, a population growth. There will be 2 billion more people in 30 years' time, you know, and they'll all want to shower. They all need water. Water is a basic resource that we need every single day. And then, of course, we have climate change and we have pollution. So it started already, the seed in the head started many years ago. And then slowly we got involved in a company that was already around beginning of 2000s that was already starting up, a friend of ours that was already starting up with a system like that. We invested in that company. It became a product, but then it was far too early. It was not good enough, and it was far too early. So in the crisis in around 2009, 2010. You know, basically the company, that small company, went into stealth mode, and basically every year we kept it up with a few shareholders because we had some patents and we had to keep that up. And then slowly, but all the shareholders didn't want to invest anymore in this product that wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And then I think it was about 2015 when all the other shareholders then said, we quit. And it made us realize, Arthur, who is the real inventor, and myself, it made us realize, you know, and it was actually here where I am right now in France, you know, overlooking this beautiful countryside and thinking, you know, well, why hasn't anybody done this? Why hasn't anybody made a product like the Hydroloop, like a decentral, small, compact, you know, nice, good-looking a system whereby you can just clean this water and, you know, just use it for a second time. So the idea popped up in our heads. We had actually sold our businesses. We were free. We had time. We had some money behind us. We didn't have to earn money with it straight away. And as nobody else was doing it, we thought, well, maybe we have to do it. Maybe this is something that, you know, so it was a little like, bing. And so we did. So we moved. We actually lived in France here where I'm right now. We moved back to the Netherlands because this is, if you'd want to do anything in water technology, you've got to be in the Netherlands.
In the Netherlands.
Absolutely. So we moved back, and that's the start. Did a lot of research in 2015 as well. Anyway, that's a long story, but that's how we really started. Yes.
You had this goal, like I have to make it myself.
Yeah.
So how was this, we can say, psychological, personal journey to get into this decision?
Well, I think, you know, I'm not 24 anymore. I'm 53. I've done a lot already in my life. My CV is quite long. I was already, together with my partner, who is the inventor of the Hydroloop, we sold our businesses. We actually, you know, we could have just enjoyed life for the rest of our lives because we didn't need to earn any more money. So again, also, this is nothing to do with that we have to do this for the money. This is because we want to do this. Now, there is something like, you know, I believe, and that comes with sometimes with age, with me it's grown with age, that, you know, I'm not here just to consume. I'm here to give and to return. We all are. And as we were in the position, and so as this came together, like this pre-product that nobody wanted to invest in anymore, but there were some patents and there was an idea. And then the fact that we have to do something, you know, that we're not only here to consume. And then the idea that you might have something, at least you know, we had been involved in a pre-product and that was already going somewhere. And that would be a product that would have such a huge impact, could have such an impact on people, on the whole world. Whereby if this is implemented standard in every single house, you know, this means that in if this starts to happen, then in 20 years' time, we have more water than we have right now, if a certain amount of people will be recycling their water, you know, with 2 billion more people on the planet. So it has such a major impact. This is the journey, but the journey is to give back and to give back to the world. Because, you know, I'm not here for me.
And this is quite interesting. Now I have two more questions, maybe about the part of finance. How do you manage your finance as an entrepreneur and as a startup?
Our situation, we were able to invest ourselves in the company. We had a friend who really thought that this was a great idea. He didn't want to like contribute in time, but he could contribute in money. So in this way, we divided the shares. And Arthur and myself, so Arthur is the guy who invented the Hydroloop, and myself, we invested our time. And then we divided the shares and we both invested in the company. And this is what we've done since 2015, 2016. And then we have a few small shareholders, but they are like staff, people that work for the company. So we want to, of course, have them, you know, they're on the same journey as we are with a small, you know, startup. Of course, there is no pension scheme and all this stuff. So all these people also invest a lot of their time and energy in it. So they are small shareholders. And then basically what we've done is that we've done almost everything ourselves. We've done, you know, because we, you know, I mean, for example, we have different qualities in all kinds of different fields. So that's the nice thing when you're a bit older. So we've combined everything that we've learned from the past and did everything ourselves. So to give you an idea, Arthur and I, we've been in 2 years' time to 26 exhibitions worldwide. Chicago, South Africa, Dubai, you know, Munich, Milan, Denmark, whatever. And everywhere we would carry this demonstration model Hydroloop, which weighs about 45 kilos and is, you know, like 1.85 meters and comes in three parts, the demo, but still it's a bit of a thing to handle.
Like an extra person.
Oh, yeah. So everywhere we go there, we have a stand, we have to make our own stand, we have to build it up. I'm hoovering there to make it all clean, you know, build it all up. We stand there for a whole week. We talk to thousands of people. We keep telling our story. Why should we recycle water? Why is this such a good idea? You know, all this kind of stuff. And then when you're absolutely exhausted by the end of the week, because you've also in the evening done your 140 emails, because you don't have a PA or anything like that, because you're all doing it yourself and you're doing the PR as well. And then at the end of the week, you actually, you know, take away, you know, you build, how do you say that? You clean up your booth, your stand at the exhibition, and you go again. And this is what we've done for 2 years. And, you know, it's been everything. It's really wonderful, of course, and special to do that. Also because we've done everything ourselves, most of it. But of course, it's like energy-wise, it's been seven days per week, 12 to 14 hours per day, and this is not an exaggeration. This is for real.
Yeah, of course.
And that is for the past, well, say since about mid 2017, so about 3 years now. Yeah, but now we're in a different stage. That is good. But that's so that's how we've managed, because you know, you see other startups as well, and you know, and they burn money like I don't know what, you know.
Yeah,
it's exactly. So easy, and a lot of it is in staff, you know. So anything, so if there is a best practice, anything you can do yourself, do it yourself, because it saves money. You're not expensive. And we didn't need to pay ourselves in the beginning. We didn't need to pay ourselves a wage. Later on, we had to do that because the Dutch taxes, they want you to pay yourself a wage. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you were making until now all your income based on sales, on selling your product.
Yes. But of course, it's been mainly up until now, it's been mainly in investment.
Yeah.
So because well, anyway, let's keep it.
No, but it's quite interesting, because sometimes, you know, the way you manage all the finance of the company, the income and the cost and the investment, so like to separate operational cost to invest to improve the company, is always very critical for the company. And like you were mentioning, many startups, they think like, I got this investment and I pay a lot of staff, and yep, they are not taking care of this, how important it is to do some kind of finance engineering and how you can reduce maximum the cost. So yep, you were traveling all this time. So how is now with the COVID? How do you do your demos?
Yeah, well, it's been wonderful. Normally I would have traveled a lot, and it was a bit tricky in the beginning. You know, we just had a lot more new staff, because after we won all these best of the best prizes at the CES in Las Vegas, we were inundated with hundreds of emails. We didn't have a CRM system at that time yet. So it was, we set up a team, which was friends, family, neighbors, students, because we didn't have a lot of money. You know, it was a lot of interest, but we didn't have a lot of money. So we got a lot of people together, and they were all actually, we have an office also in our house, which is quite a big office. So we had all these people there. It was like this really, you know, this pressure cooker. Got ourselves trained on a CRM system and tried to get all these thousands and thousands of emails into this system so we could manage it, and sending all these people like these automated messages saying, oh, thank you very much for your interest, but we're really busy, we get back to you as soon as we can. But then, of course, COVID came, And everybody, and one of our staff, her daughter was very ill, and we didn't know if she had it. So we said, okay, everybody home. So everybody went home, and we have done so since actually the 24th of August. And then we moved into our new offices, which is the Wetzes building in Leeuwarden, which is really nice. So we're actually going to the office now again, but we're doing this not 100% everybody, you know, so we make these schedules, who is when in the office, and we make it so that the right people, so the R&D engineer and the software engineer and Arthur, you know, that they are together so they can have their meetings together, etc. But I mean, the traveling has been none.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So I've been able to do a lot more because I'm traveling less. But of course, some exhibitions would have been interesting, like ISH in Germany. Germany is a very important market for us,
yeah,
but we still haven't entered that market. And an exhibition like that would really be good. So it looks like it's going to be next year, but everything that was planned for this year is gone. Same with the in Dubai, the World Expo. That would have been really interesting for us to be. It's postponed a year.
So how do you create trust online? So because now you cannot meet your customers, how do you create this bonding, like you can make the sale on distance?
Yeah, well, to be very honest, that's what we're going to be working on. Right.
Okay.
You know, up until now, as I said, we've done a lot, since January, our team has expanded, but a lot of them were temporary staff. At this moment in time, we are 12 people now, so we have a lot more staff. We're at the final stages of closing with an investment, with an investor. This is our next step. This is the scale-up phase. So we've been hiring people. And we're actually now, so this will mean real budget, you know. And
yeah.
So we have staff, we have budget for staff. And we're actually, I have this afternoon my first meeting about what is the budget and how are we going to allocate it. And so one of the things is also that we really need to either hire some specialists or ourselves get training on how we can better reach people by, you know, with SEA, I believe it's called an SE, you know, search engine optimization, of course, but you also have search engine advertising. So we're actually looking into that right now. So if you have any tips, let me know. But
we are really good on the SEO. But I think that I can recommend you one person who is very specialized on how to create ads online.
Oh, good. I'd love to. Yeah,
I will take a note.
So up until now, what we've done is that, and maybe I can tell you, although you haven't asked me, but maybe I can tell you that, you know, when you create a new product, people don't know that there is a product that they can want. So you have
that's the key point when you are doing innovation.
Yeah.
You are creating a market.
Exactly. You have to create the market. And so how we have done that is to go to all these exhibitions and seminars and talk about, not only about Hydroloop, but it is our vision. You know, it is our vision that in 10, 15 years' time, no building will be built without its own decentralized water recycling system.
Yeah.
You see this in energy as well. It's all decentral. People go off grid. Even involved in a project in Portugal whereby, you know, we're actually going to be in a whole area with houses whereby people are going to be trading water with each other. So if you have more recycled water, you know,
that's
so we're metering
quite interesting.
Yeah.
Platform for.
Yeah.
First, there's that data sharing, like you have X amount. So facilitate the data, and then it's how you physically exchange water.
Yeah. So we're going to do a pilot, hopefully, in Portugal for that. But anyway, So everywhere we've gone, so we've gone to these exhibitions, we have enrolled for prizes, innovation prizes, to so that people get to hear about you, you know, about you and your product, to get acknowledged as a you know, high-tech product. So that's basically what we have been doing. And through that, we've been getting some traction, and, you know, we've been getting some interviews in radio, on television, mm-hmm. international. You know, we became you know, we got the label from the World Alliance for Efficient Solutions, which is a, you know, quality label, which is Swiss, and the World Bank is behind it. And then, you know, the Brave Blue World, which is a documentary, which is co-organized by Water.org from Matt Damon. You know, it's like I see it as like a puzzle, you know, the old-fashioned puzzle, whereby, you know, you do all these things, and all the time you do them, and it's not like you immediately get things back from it, but suddenly it's like all these little pieces are coming together. And then, of course, we had this, you know, so it was like missionary work. It's like talking and being there and explaining, and people going, what is the return on investment? And, you know, it's like, well, life isn't all about return on investment. It's, you know, and water municipalities, you know, are realizing it. I mean, in the Netherlands, you know, we have a third year of a drought. I mean, there are many, you know, in the southern and eastern areas of the Netherlands, you know, hello, Holland, you know, you would never expect it. But there we have a major a water issue. And even in Holland, in 10 years' time, 1 million more inhabitants, which means, you know, 133 million litres per day extra water that we're going to need, you know. And so, but anyway, so we've been, you know, we've been pushing and pushing, and then came CES, and then came four prizes, and being in the top 25 of, you know, Time Magazine, the best products, you know, winning from, you know, the e-car from Sony, and you know, and the foldable tablet, and Meetable, which have like millions and millions of marketing budget, millions. And who wins? It's small, you know, SME from the Netherlands, from Leeuwarden and Hydroloop, with our high-tech smart water recycling system. And that has, you know, and that's the moment where we've gone from push to pull. That's really where, and you met us, you know, we met each other at CES Unveiled, where we already had won one prize. And to give you, and to be frank, I had enrolled us for the prize, and then I got a note saying we weren't accepted for the prize.
Huh?
Yeah. And so, but because we went together with the 50 most innovative high-tech startups from the Netherlands, which was organized by RVO and TechLeap, and it was Prince Constantijn, the brother of our king, and Mona Keizer from the ministry who joined us. And they had three prep days. We had three preparation days before we were going to the CES in Las Vegas. And I went to every single day. Now, I can tell you, I think in general, half of all these 50 startups came. Maybe not all times
really?
The same. I know. And I went to all of them. And they were a whole day, and they would be in Rotterdam or in Utrecht or whatever. Yeah. And I went. And it would be how to communicate in America with the press, with international press, with investors, all this kind of stuff. And of course, you know, I mean, some things I know, but many things I learned from that.
Yeah.
Now, with this came some professionals that are, you know, together with TechLeap, and they would advise us. And one of them I approached and I said, you know, oh, it's such, you know, we weren't allowed to, you know, they didn't say why, but they said, you know, you can't enroll. And then he said, oh, give it to me and I'll have a look at it. And he said, you know, you've got to say all the right words. You've got to say game changing, next generation, one of a kind, you know, make it there. And he says, you know, really say we are going to have our global product launch in Las Vegas. That is really important for them. So And this is, again, if we're looking at lessons, never give up. So this meant, you know, and I worked from deadline to deadline. So I had other deadlines and then I had this deadline. So I remember, you know, working till 1:30. I thought I had 12 till 12 midnight. So I was working and I knew I couldn't fix my text before 12. But, you know, I did my very best. And suddenly I thought, hang on, 12, which time zone? And it was New York. So I thought, oh, you know, I've got until 5 in the morning or something like that. Anyway, 1:30, I entered my, you know, again for this possible nomination or award. Luckily, I didn't know what came, what is all rolled out of from that one thing. Because of this, you know, we didn't even get like a special nomination. No, we won. Before we left, we went. We won Best Innovation, Best of Innovation for Sustainability, Eco Design and Smart Energy. That was one group, one category, one of 16. There's only two companies in Europe that have won a prize. All the rest was not in Europe. So there were only two. So this made that. At the CES unveiled, I talked to Prince Constantine because it was very special that we had already won that prize. And I told him and I said, well, we're in your group. Did you know we won Best of Innovation for Sustainability, Smart Energy and Eco Design? He said, no, I didn't. What does the Hydroloop do? So I said, well, so I told him, you know, what we do. And then later on stage, when it's officially opened, here, you know, the CTA, Karen Chopka, asks Prince Constantine, can you tell me something about why these startups are so special here, these Dutch startups? He says, well, for example, Hydroloop. And he tells the story.
Everyone.
That's how it started. Then we were allowed to have, had one extra space on this exhibition floor because we had won this prize. So they have this whole hall, I can't remember, anyway, where they have everybody that's nominated and the people that have won. So we traveled with two of these Hydroloops in the plane to Las Vegas. Anyway, so we had two places. And then the day before the exhibition started, 1,500 journalists from all over the world went to a special press conference to get a little glimpse about what's coming. And I get from this journalist that I met at one of these prep days, he sends me a picture and he says, you better watch out or something. And I see this huge stage, I see this huge picture of Arthur and myself and the Hydroloop that we had sent in. And I see a little person on the stage. So the stage is huge and this is the person, and it says tech trend to watch out for. So this is how, so these are how things go. Yeah. And then after Vegas, we went from push to pull. And so now we don't have to explain anymore why we should do this. And we've been catapulted all over the world and the world is coming to us. Because we're not there yet. It's not like, you know, we have a product that is, you know, the hockey stick is long because we have a product that is for new build. So if you order one now, you probably need it in a year and a half when your house or your office building or whatever is built. But we're moving.
I think it's very funny, like you are mentioning the stick growth, because I am using always this metaphor. I think it is true. You know, you have this year, you don't know, and you are going and never give up. You know, you are going, and you don't know how long will be until you go. You start making the first sales. You know, until then, the growth is coming. And you have to be super strong, you know, dealing with frustration.
Yes. Well,
being resilient. Yeah. In a true way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and I think that what is important to you have to think about a few things that if you work with innovation, that if you there is a lot of natural resistance from people and companies, anything that is new and innovative. So you get a lot of this,
yeah.
You know, and that could be, so if you get that could be a sign that you're on the right road, because you get a lot of resistance, but it doesn't mean that it is good. You know, it could mean that you're not sure. So you also have to keep listening to other people, and yeah, because you get a lot of like, nobody wants it, people aren't interested, it's never gonna work, you know, you get, that's what you're dealing with, and you have to, you know, and you mustn't just not listen to that, you do have to listen to all the advice from other people as well, and you have to resonate it with yourself, and you know, because you may have something completely wrong sometimes, you know, you mustn't keep dragging on a dead horse, so to speak.
Yeah, it's a learning process, and learning how to deal with all the feedback and what is related or not, but as well, your confidence is growing.
Yes, yes. And if you just think about energy, you know, energy is always, you know, so if you get so much negative or resistance, then the other side must come. It must come, but you don't know when. And the only thing you can do is keep going. And the other thing is that is very good is in the whole process, you know, first, of course, you have an idea, your innovation. So that is the first phase, is like to actually, you know, prove that for yourself. And that's very small. In you know, we did this in the house, in our own garage, you know, that was our laboratory. And our house was set up for water recycling. And so all the tests and everything, we did that. And finding the right way to treat this water without filters, which is, you know, so super innovative how we did this in a very compact machine. And that was trial and error until we got there. And then, of course, the next phase was, okay, so it's working. So we proved to ourselves and with the laboratory, you know, we worked just with the laboratory, it works. And then it was still like extremely ugly and pipes and big. It wasn't anything like a consumer product. So then the next phase was, you know, a hire, and this is where another lesson, get everything, you know, then you have to get the right people, pick good people to do everything that you cannot, that's not your quality. You know, so we had to hire an R&D engineer, somebody that could really, you know, help the vision, how we had to look, but we're not an engineer. And so that was the next step, to make it really into a consumer product, to make it look nice. And then, of course, we had to get the production line up and running. So we had to, you know, so we said, okay, we're not going to build our own factory and have like all these people, and how big is the factory got to be, and how many staff, and because you know that it's going to go like this. Or like this, or you can't see that.
Whatever line is good to grow.
Yeah. So, so we found a shared smart factory whereby, you know, so they do the supply chain. They have all that knowledge. Supply chain. We have no knowledge of supply chain. Supply chain. You know, the whole assembly is there, and they have a transportation company. It's in the same building, and they do the transport. And then of course you also need to, that's the moment right now. Up until now, we've created so much noise, and we've worked so hard and so well, and got this recognition. So we've been able to roll onto all that, you know, so the spin-off from the CES is still giving us so many leads. But now, and that's what we need again, and that's what you need again. You need to have money for your advertising, you know, to really. So we had, of course, a budget for the to go to all these exhibitions, which is very, very costly.
Yeah.
But we had to do it, and also we had to find out which exhibition works and which doesn't, because we had such a new product that we went to like water exhibitions, but it was far too technical, and you know, like. It would be more, you know, B2B, and we have a consumer product. So it's been trial and error.
How do you see the future? So can we have Hydra Loop in our kitchen, you know, like a next to the washing machine.
Yes. Well, how do I see the future? Well, yes. The Hydroloop that you see now on the website is the 300 liter version, which is what we started with. So what is already in design now is we have a whole range of products. So we have a smaller one, which is called the 150, which will be fully integrated with the toilet flushing system, which will be for apartments. So anybody with two or three people, you know, like a couple or single or with like a small child, for new builds, you know, so it doesn't take up any floor space and it's big enough for you there. Then we have a bigger version, so the double size version, because we're finding that in a lot of countries like America and in many other countries, Middle East, they use a lot more water. So now we can cover that by making a cascade. So we do like several units next to each other and make like one unit out of it. But we're going to make a double version. So we're going to make a much bigger version. And again, we can cascade that. So that's on the drawing board. Then on the drawing board, we are going to be making a Hydroloop purely for the washing machine so that you can just stick it on or underneath your washing machine and it will just be there to recycle your washing machine water. Then we're planning one that is integrated with your shower so that you can just build it into your bathroom and it's very easy. So
that's super cool. I want them. And even so, for companies, no? Are you thinking to scale to companies? To create a product specific for companies?
Yeah, we're already doing that. So these are the small products, actually more like kind of for the, you know, for the consumers. But, you know, we're already scaling up. We're just finishing this student housing. It's a flat. It's in Ghent in Belgium. It's a more than 300 student rooms in a brand new building. And in the bottom, in the cellar of the building is a Hydroloop cascade of 14 units and working as one big unit, but all individual units. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be recycling all the bath and bath water, shower water from all these students, recycling and flushing all their toilets with it.
That's cool.
I don't know how many bro upcot, BRO, and then the second word is UPKOT. We'll soon come out with some PR about that as well. So that is already a larger scale. And at the moment we're saying, well, we can do up until about, well, we said actually we can do up to about 6,000 liters per day, but we can do a lot more. Mm-hmm. So we're actually, you know, we're probably hiring somebody who can technically, again, assist us in doing also the trials and seeing how far we can go and how big we can, you know, have the units. And then we can already do we're doing projects now for mosques, because mosques, we never thought about that would be a market. But in a mosque, many people go, they five times a day, they wash their hand, their feet, their face. It's not very dirty. And then it gets flushed away. And all these mosques, they have a garden around them, at least maybe not in Europe, but in the Middle East, in many countries they have. And they have toilets, so they can flush the toilets. At least they can recycle it and do that with it. So we're doing mosques, we're doing sports clubs, we're doing a football soccer club that we're now, all the shower water there. So that is a Hydroloop Cascade 6. There is a limit, but up until now, we do not see a lot of limits, let's so speak. Yeah. So the future is looking bright.
And for instance, how much costs the system for the student house?
It's a project price. There is like, I'd rather not say. But, okay. You know, I mean, you have, of course, if you are a consumer and it's like an individual unit, of course, this is just a project price whereby, you know, the whole consultancy, if you, you know, we had to look at all the drawings, we had to read all the technical reports and everything. We have to give them all the support. So there is a different price for that. I was in with a big company in Eindhoven a week and a half ago, and they're building a new, they are a company that make all these cleaning, all these products for professional cleaning companies. So, you know, anything to do with that. Mm-hmm. They are growing every year 400% or something, huge. They're in worldwide, America, all over. Mm-hmm. Now, they're building a new building in Eindhoven, and which will be, again, a place where they will invite all their clients, where they can show their new products. They have the whole experience or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have a cascade, but they're going to have it, and this is why I'm saying it, they're going to have it when you enter the building, when you come into the main hall, that's where it's going to be. And you're going to see 8 Hydroloops at the back wall. Nice and industrial, you know, with the plumbing, you know, and probably some kind of screen with, you know, showing basically how much they've already recycled and saved. And that's the beauty of the product. And we're doing a few more of those proposals that, of course, in your house, you would like it next to your washing machine, or, you know, you don't want it in your living room. It's a nice looking thing. I have it in my living room, but hey, you know. I'm the co-founder. I'm crazy. But but in these kind of situations where companies not only want to be more sustainable, but also show, you know, because that's important nowadays as well. You know, I read Heineken the other day, you know, that their green label, I don't know if you saw it, you know, that they're all the energy that they're using to make beer, that's all, you know, like wind energy and whatever. So therefore they are now, you know, green. Brewery, and doesn't say anything. Yeah, it's a first step. It doesn't say how much water doesn't say how much water they waste by creating beer. But it's a first step.
Now the question, Sabine, because you are doing innovation, you are driving change in the market with Hydraloop. What is innovation for you?
I really don't know what is it for me. I don't know how to answer that. What is innovation for me? Well, we always need innovation because we need to move forward. But innovation for good, for better. So that's important that we put all our efforts into that. So yeah, for the good and not... innovation of new cornflakes or a new style of jeans, unless it's cotton that is unbleached and but even not cotton really. Yeah, I don't want that. Sorry, I can't really come up with anything more exciting than that.
No, I think it's very good. Innovation for good. Yeah, I think that's very important. Like, it has to have a purpose and logic and common sense behind if we are going forward.
Yeah, there's a lot of new, of course, I mean, for example, you know, if you go into the supermarket, there is, you know, in food also, there's a lot of innovation, but a lot of it is crap. It's just, you know, it's chemical, it's not good for your body, and it looks like something, it's, you know, it's, the package is saying, you know, this is amazing, but what's inside it is cheap and it's not good for you. So that's what, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not interested in that kind of innovation. But if it is really going to help us as a society, a people, nature, but the whole ecosystem, animals included, everything, then I think it's worth doing that kind of innovation.
And what is collaboration for innovation?
Well, it's very important because you do not have the knowledge, you do not have all the knowledge yourself. So in our situation, we had certain knowledge about the system that we had created. But as I said, the design, the engineering of the product to make it into an end product that looks good for consumers, that wasn't in our scope. So you need to get the right people to assist you with that and to advise you with that. As I said, also with the production, the lab that we work with, also with you know, the collaboration. Also, we're at the Water Campus in Leeuwarden, and this is a very important place. This is, I don't know if you if you're aware of this, but this is you know, this is the place where all European scientific research is being done on water at WETSIS, which is the building that we're actually now in as well. So this is a real big ecosystem where one on one is three. Everybody's there's it's laboratories, research students, PhD students, SMEs, and everything, and it's all about water. And we became a member there of the Water Alliance, and that's been very important for us because they put us into contact with all these parties that, you know, we they've put us in contact all over the world with other water hubs. Through their water hub in we were able to set up an office in Milwaukee in the US. So it's a network that you know that they've offered, and through them we actually found the production facility that we are using now in the Netherlands. Because they pointed it out to us. Yeah. So yeah, it's one and one. One plus one is three. That's what you're after, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, it's be into the ecosystem. In yeah. your case, it's the water ecosystem, and this is
yes.
super important for startups or SMEs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are listening to the Business of Collaboration podcast. A production from CollabWith. We are an online community helping businesses connect with experts to solve innovation challenges and create consortiums. We do this through a custom-built environment where academics, startups, and businesses collaborate to innovate and accelerate. Together, we break down the barrier between academics and the business world. Innovation has never been so accessible. And now, back to our podcast.
So what is the thing you are most proud of?
What I'm proud of is, yeah, I'm super proud of our perseverance, because it's, you know, it's really, I worked hard all my life, but I've never worked as hard as this, never, ever, no. So, luckily I'm full of energy. And so is Arthur. And but of course, it's a lot easier if you're 30 than if you're 50. You know, I mean, I can still do it, but you know, it's yeah. So I'm very proud. I'm really proud of what we have created, and that we have created something. You know, when I was a child, you know, my idea was that, you know, I would want to go to Africa and I'd grow vegetables and so that the people would have food. You know, that's. And if I look back now, I think, wow, you know, I've done all these different things in my life. And now, you know, we've created the system. And of course, now it is still reasonably expensive because not for everybody, but this is not a product that everybody can already acquire. But we are working towards that. First 5 years, you know, we need to, you know, basically sell the product as is and the new products to come. To this group of people that can afford it, but we're already talking to the World Bank, you know, and so we are looking at licensing the product. So we really would love to make a very cheap version as well and have it produced locally so that it can be accessible to you know, to everybody, because, you know, as I say, we have a vision and we have a mission, and the vision is that in, you know, 15 years time, no house or building will be built without its own decent or water recycling. And it's our mission that, you know, we will have a percentage of that. I mean, it's such a big market that we wouldn't be able to how do you say that, to do the whole market. And we are inviting other SMEs and other companies to come up with similar products. So there is competition, which is always good, and that we can actually serve this huge market. And so I'm really proud that we have a real solution for a huge worldwide problem. That's what I'm proud of.
Yeah, and I think, like, you are mentioning many, many, many super interesting things, but one thing is about the competition.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's needed, like the market can understand your product.
Yeah.
There is enough market for everyone.
Oh yeah,
And the other point I like is when you had this dream when you are little, at the end you are making it, you know, you are growing, you can...
I'm not growing your tomatoes, but...
No, you don't, but you are, yeah. You will be enabled to grow tomatoes in Africa, yeah. You know, like somehow.
Yeah, that's why. So in that sense, you know, if I hope not, but if my life would end tomorrow, you know, I can look back and say I've had a fantastic life, and I've done something to really contribute to towards this beautiful planet. And but I hope I can enjoy it a little longer.
Yeah,
but
it's better. Well, yeah, 50 years.
But yeah, and see the success as well, and see the company grow, and and this is important. You know, we've now made this recycle ready concept. It's called. So you know, 40 years ago, when people bought a house, when they bought a washing machine, their house was not plumbed for a washing machine. So you bought the washing machine, and then you had to do the plumbing yourself. Now, at this moment in time, houses are not prepared at this moment in time with with standard plumbing for recycling water. Now we've made this concept, and we are discussing it now with building companies, construction, architects in the Netherlands, but also in Australia. And so we're showing and basically saying you're building for the future. A building should be here for another 100 years. So, you know, and when I buy a house, there is a place for my washing machine and, you know, for my fridge. And that's all, you know, thought about by the architect, by the building company. So that's how we must build now. And it's peanuts in money what it costs if you do that now. You know, I'm only talking about just plumbing it slightly different, actually, in new build. And so, and if, as I say, if we do that in all new build, then and that is all build recycle ready, then it's also up to the customer if they want to buy a recycle system now, or if maybe in 2 or 5 years' time, yeah, when of course the systems become more cheaper, because the more volume we do, you know, the cheaper it becomes, and then with competition there, and also it's our aim that it should become a lot cheaper. It should, I can't say yet when, but we hope that in some point in time, it's going to be an absolute no-brainer, and it's a standard item in every single house. So you buy a fridge, you buy you have a heat pump, you have solar panels, you have a hydro loop a water recycler, and we hope that a certain percentage will be a hydro loop. Yeah, that's our vision. Yeah.
What is the failure you were learning the most from?
Well, I think, maybe it's not a failure, but it's something we said already before, that you get a lot of people that will make you doubt what you're doing.
Yeah.
And to keep believing in yourself. But as I say, you have to be careful, because you mustn't, be betting on a dead horse or something. So. Mm-hmm. But I've let myself, sometimes go astray because of what other people say. You always have to think, why are people saying this?
Yeah.
Why are they saying that? What? So to go back on the fact that I'm not 24 and I have, I've learned so much over the years that I can trust my gut feeling. And other failures, it's more, I've learned a lot over the years. I'm still learning, and I've really grown the last few years into my role, learned to trust in myself, trust and believe in myself, because, some people are more, cocky, or I think even also now when you go to universities, you get a lot of training and speaking in public and all this stuff. I never learned that. So I've had to learn it all myself. And I'm generally the person who, you may not think it, but I'm generally more the person that thinks, I would be the person to think, can I do that? am I good enough? That's really my my handicap, and it's been there most of my life. Although people don't generally think it, because I talk easy, and you know, they think I'm quite extrovert, but inside I'm quite can be quite insecure. So I've, because of just doing it and doing it and doing it and seeing what you achieve with it, you know, even, you know, having been, you know, this year, having been invited at the palace with the king and the queen, you know, as one of the, you know, for what we have achieved with Hydroloop. And yeah, we did that with, so then, yeah. So that's what I learned.
Yeah, and I think it's very good to say it, because this is super important as well to how you mentioned, like, the gut feeling. It's very, 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 very important. And maybe now with the life we have, the lifestyle, or how we are trusting more machines like ourselves, you know, this is a tricky situation always, the gut feeling. But I think it's the truth. The most you know yourself and you can trust yourself is when you are getting further. And the self-esteem and the self-confidence is one of the key factors to go and to learn.
And if you do something, you know, if you make the wrong decision, then learn from it, you know, and go. You know. In America, you know, if people have, you know, how do you say that, the company's gone bankrupt or bust, you know, it's you know, they see it as a positive thing, you know, that at least, and I think so too. And of course, that's not a very nice situation if you're in there, and we're not. But I'm just saying that, you know, it's been a roller coaster, but you learn from that, you know. I do not believe, however beautiful the stories are, the Apple or Microsoft or, you know, a Tesla or whatever, but it isn't the way, just only up. It isn't like that.
Not
and you do not learn from that either. You learn from the hard moments, and
the dark side. So now, super quick questions. What is your favorite place for holidays?
This is where I am right now, in the south of France, where I am on the mountain. I'm in the distance. I see the sea, which is about 50 kilometers away. And on very, very clear days, I see Corsica, which is 200 kilometers away. And I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm 10 minutes away from the best restaurant in the world, because I love good food. And I am in total privacy here with nature. I mean, we have deer. Well, we don't have them, but they're here. Deer, wild boar, birds. You know, I was talking about, you know, I don't want to sound too heavy, but I mean, if there is any place I want to be at the end, this is where I want to be. Yeah. And in the meantime, I'll enjoy it.
close to nature, I mean, we can say.
Close to nature, and it has a very, you know, you feel on, you know, I'm overlooking the world. It's so beautiful and it's so peaceful. And you don't need anything here. You just need your old pair of jeans and maybe a glass of wine, and then it's fine.
It's going back to the basics, you know, what is really important in life. Good tomato, you know, with olive oil.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes, I know. We make our own olive oil here.
Oh, really?
Awesome. Yeah, we have about 40 trees, and this year is going to be very bad one, because there's not that many olives. But I've just been picking figs, you know, and it's lovely. Wake up in the morning, go for a dip in the organic pool that we have. Then I go and pick some figs, put them in my yogurt. It sounds idyllic. It is. And then go to work.
Which is super cool. You know, you are in a very relaxed mode and you start working, and it's when you can be much more effective.
Yeah. That's why I'm here now working, because, you know, I could be doing this somewhere else, but I wanted to do it here. So I also have this little bit of peace and and enjoy this place for a little bit. And I, you know, I have Wi-Fi, so I can work anywhere.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. So then, anywhere you are, how your mornings look like? Do you have a routine in the morning?
Yeah, I do, actually. There are two things that well, except for the normal things like brushing your teeth and showering and whatever, which I do as well. But two things. One thing I started with the corona thing, and that is walk every morning. I go for a walk because I couldn't go to my yoga and I couldn't go to all these other things. So we started like just walking, and I, you know, so anywhere this morning as well, I've been walking here, and it's addictive, and it's just a walk, totally. You know, it's not like running or whatever. And that's just time to just talk a bit or think nothing, or wonderful. So that is one of my routines. And the second one is that I make, 6 out of 7, I make a vegetable juice. I make about a liter and a half. No fruit, veggies. And that's what I live on. And that's because, of course, one of the important things as well is that you have to look after number one, because you are so important in this process.
Totally. So, that's a huge pain learning. I am learning.
Yeah. So I'm actually also a nutritionist. You know, so I've done many things in my life, so I know a lot about food. And you have to feed yourself. You have to, you know, give it nutrition, and not just something that it has a nice mouth feeling or it tastes nice. No, it has to feed you. And of course, the downside of all the stress and all the hard work is that, or the negative side is that you need to compensate that. And I'm not saying that I'm always amazing with that, and I tend to do that also with a glass of wine and then another glass of wine or whatever. But we have to look after ourselves, and that is in the, you know, and that is in spirit, but it's also in your body. So feed yourself. So I feed myself with vegetable juice. Why? Because it's the first thing after the water I drink, it's the first I have. It goes into your stomach. It doesn't need any work, and then it goes into your intestines, where the gut feeling comes from. And there, you know, there is no work to be done, and all the nutrients are going immediately from the intestines to the bloodstream, and it's feeding my body, and it's like a super kick. And that's what I do. I like to do it every morning, but when I'm traveling or whatever, it's difficult. But I have one in France, I have one on my sailing boat, I have one everywhere. I just need a traveling little juicer.
So one recipe. So what is the one recipe you can recommend?
Yeah, of course, I always put ginger and lime in it to give it a nice fresh kick. So it's a bit of, you have to try a little bit, but usually cucumber, you know, it's nice. If you do beetroot, so okay, I'll give you like, yeah, I make a nice green one and I make a nice red one.
Okay,
so the
cool.
green one is spinach, fennel. It's very nice. Spinach, fennel, zucchini, maybe green pepper, little bit of celery because celery is quite bitter, lime, ginger, and a cucumber. Wonderful. And then, and if you have to try and start and have a sweet tooth, put in this big mix, put one apple in. And it will make it a little sweeter, but then wean yourself off it, because you must, if you have the apple, you have to eat it with the fiber, and don't juice it because it's too much sugar, which is not good for your blood. And then the red one is do a beet, but beet is a bit earthy, so you need to make it a little bit sweeter. So then put some carrots in there and some tomatoes, maybe a red pepper. Again, do a zucchini and a cucumber, just to give it a lot of juice. So then you get the big 1.5 liter, ginger and lime, and a mint, fresh mint always. Yeah. I always put those three always in because it gives it a very nice fresh taste. And give me a call when you've done it. It's wonderful.
So that's super cool. So I am as well, no sugar, no gluten. I am trying to be super like in this direction. Like, it's very strange because everyone is like, oh, you don't sugar, how do you life? But I think it's very important to be super healthy, and this is a toxic ingredient.
Sugar is poison. It's absolute poison. Yeah. But of course, I have my glass of wine, and it's we'll have some
balance.
That's it. You know, I don't have to be. How are we in Dutch? In Dutch, we say you have to be more Catholic than the Pope. I don't have to be more Catholic than the Pope.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can have my glass of wine. Yeah, but feed yourself. It's important.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the French, they say it, you know, you have to keep the balance. You cannot, you know, be so strict all the time.
Exactly. But as long as the balance is it's not like this, but it's like loads and loads and loads and loads of nutrition and good stuff. And then a few treats that, you know, make life that little bit nicer. But the other stuff is also very nice, by the way, because I love my juice. And, you know, it's not like I love it. I'm addicted.
Last question now. So what are you doing on the weekends and your spare time?
I haven't had... What is that, spare time?
Did you disconnect sometimes?
The last few years, to be very honest, hardly. But I really need to. So watching a good documentary or a good movie is relaxing. Doing some yoga or Pilates is really nice. Meditating, I haven't mastered yet. I'm too busy in my head, but it should be good. I love sailing. And sailing, I find, is my meditation. I can just, you know, I'm doing the boat. It's not that complex. And you're just busy with the sails and the water. And I'm just, I can do that for hours. That's a very relaxing thing for me. And when I really have time again, I'd love to play the piano again, which I can, and sing, because I love to sing. And I used to do this and play piano and sing, and I haven't done. That's my wish.
Thank you very much, Sabine.
It's been a pleasure. It's been really nice talking to you.
Thank you for listening to the Business of Collaboration podcast. And remember, if you want to support what we do, then share, subscribe, and leave a review over on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcast. You can find a summary of this podcast at podcast.collabwith.org. See you next week.